Hello and welcome. I'm Manali Hirani, your host and creator of Fertility Education, shortly named as Fertility Ed. I launched this podcast with a mission, which is to educate people and share my knowledge about the subject of fertility. And by doing this, I believe that it will empower women to make an informed decision of their sex life and future family planning. And I'm pretty excited to bring you my next episode of podcast. Just to introduce myself again, I am a certified embryologist, hypnotherapist, natural family planning practitioner, and your fertility advisor. And I have had my presence in this field for over 10 years now. And I'm using this platform to share my knowledge, experience, and empower you on your next step regarding fertility. I will be covering a range of topics through my podcast episode, which will educate you further to understand your own body and this broad field. And if you're one of those who are suffering from infertility, I want to tell you that you're not alone in this journey. And as a fertility advisor, I will try my best to educate you so you can keep your fertility health up to the mark. So let's learn, empower, and inspire. Right then, here we go. Hello and welcome to Fertility Ed Podcast. I'm your host, Manali Hirani. So today we are going to talk about let's say it's an extension of the previous episode. In previous episode, we talked about the phases of menstrual cycle and its effect on immunity. Well, we all know the menstrual cycle affects many aspects of health, from body temperature to energy to sleep quality. Have you ever wondered that even though you maintain your routine, yet you see changes in your sleep patterns? Sometimes you sleep like a log, and sometimes you don't get a wink of quality sleep. Especially, this pattern was quite significantly noticed during quarantine period, where we were almost in a kind of routine for a couple of months. This was a new routine that was developed due to the current situations. And because many of us developed a new routine, there's a new sleep cycle, and our normal day-to-day life changed than what we used to have before. So the point here is that even in routine, women see changes in their sleep cycle. Well, this changes has lots to do with your menstrual cycle. As I said that in a previous episode, we discussed that how menstrual cycle affect our immunity. Well, it also affects our sleep cycle. Today, we are going to learn that how does it affect our sleep cycle? You may not even realize it, but your cycle can have a direct impact on the quality of your rest. And monthly progression of your hormone changes may be responsible for that sleep issues. So let's dive deep into this. Now, there are a couple of studies done, and they have found that the poor quality sleep was found in the women who suffer from premenstrual syndrome or painful cramps. Women often reported sleep difficulties the days leading up to their periods, and like first couple of days during the periods, during the menstruation. Even my couple of friends, you know, they can never sleep at night before their menstrual cycles are start, because there's always seem to be on tossing and turning because they are either too hot or they are too cold. And the most common time when these sleep problems happen is around 3 to 6 days prior, like before having a period. You know, I found this studies quite interesting. There is literally so much of scope in this research, and very little has been done so far. You know, each part of our cycle, like each part of your cycle, brings a different quality of sleep. More specifically for women with ovulatory menstrual cycles, they have a circadian rhythm superimposed on menstrual cycle associated rhythm, which in turn menstrual cycle, like menstrual event, affect the circadian rhythm. Because of which we know that all of the circadian rhythm, and this disruption in circadian rhythm comes all down to the hormonal fluctuations. These hormonal fluctuations in the entire month or in the entire cycle changes a lot many things in your body. It affects your sleep, your immunity, your sex drive, your creativity, your mood. Oh my God, the list goes on and on. And why does it happen? For example, the drop in progesterone level can decrease the REM sleep. Now, what is REM sleep? REM sleep is a rapid eye movement sleep. This is a stage of the sleep where your dream happens. But it also is an important restorative part of sleep that helps with brain to function. Now, some studies have shown that women who experienced excessive symptoms of premenstrual syndromes, they have less hours of REM sleep. Now, this can lead to lower sleep quality, more disturbed and restless sleep pattern. And hence, if you don't get a good night's sleep, you're going to have not that great mood next day. So, right before menstruation, progesterone levels drops in the body, and leading to low progesterone levels and estrogens, there is changes in your pattern which can affect your sleep cycle. Now, let's talk about what happens after ovulation. You know, progesterone rises after ovulation, and thought that it can lead to heightened anxiety. Actually, it works to prepare the body for pregnancy. As we all know, after ovulation, the progesterone rises and body is preparing for the potential pregnancy. It does this by helping the body fall asleep and stay asleep. So in women with heightened symptoms of PMS, these progesterone levels are markedly low before the menstruations, leading up to increased sleep patterns. So now I hope you can understand that how your hormone fluctuations affects your sleep cycle. So let's dive into the each phases. What happens in each phases? As we all know that we have four phases in the menstrual cycle: a menstruation, follicular phase, ovulation, luteal phase. Let's see what happens. How sleep quality differs. Now, what happens during the sleep quality during menstruation? Well, 30% of women said that they experienced sleep problems during menstruations. There is a decreased quality of sleep, as we mentioned. Why? Because of the low progesterone estrogen level, which can lead you to feel maybe sleepier during day but not night. This decrease in sleep may naturally impact even the concentration levels of moods and then relationships and energy levels. And okay, it's all interconnected. So when it comes to perform daily tasks, you're not that efficient because you have not rested enough. So remember, sleep quality could also be worse with first few days of your cycles due to also cramps, headaches, digestive issues, and other bodily discomforts that comes along with the first few days of your periods. So bleeding is not the only problem. The best advice is to take it easy. So if you know you're not likely to get great quality sleep within the first few days of your cycle, so plan everything accordingly. Focus on the work that does not require too much of attention. Give your household chores a break. Be mindful of how you interact with your loved ones and with your friends, because you are going to snap them very easily. You're going to get angry really easily because your hormones are all over the place and it's not in control. So make sure that you don't put so much of energy into conversations or think hard. Just give yourself a break. Avoid issues that may be triggering when it comes to close relationships, so you can approach them with a clearer head later on and a more rested body and mind in the coming days. And try not to plan any early morning calls, or keeping in mind that you know that you're menstruating and things are going to take time. So it's always great to plan things ahead. And how can that happen when you know that when you are going to approach, you know the approximately days that you are likely going to get your menstruations? Because you know the sleep quality decreases. And I know that there are so many people who have sleepless nights during menstruation. So if you're one of them, if you're in the cranky mood, or you tend to get angry quicker, or you can't do just work efficiently during a menstruation, give yourself a break. You deserve this. And there are so many companies out there who also give period breaks. So if you need one, don't hesitate to ask your company. Okay, now what happens in follicular phase? The follicular phase occurs from the first day of your period until ovulation. Now, in women who experience a normal cycle, this process take, place over the course of about, you know, from anywhere from 12th day of your cycle to 16th day of your cycle, or 18 days sometimes. Now, at the beginning of the cycle, I'm talking about the day one of the cycle, okay? Both estrogen and progesterone are lower because you're menstruating than any other point during the cycle. So, when women tend to report decreased quality of sleep within first few days of menstruation, it's okay. But right after your period, you may experience a few normal nights of sleep, according to whatever you define as normal. This is because the body is more likely to respond to the secretion of melatonin. Melatonin is a sleep hormone, and during this phase of cycle, there is a good response to the secretion of melatonin. But do not get too comfortable, okay? Because this normal is not going to last for long. Because after menstruation ends, estrogen levels begin to steadily rise until ovulation. And there is again a small dip during ovulation. So what happens when the ovulation approaches? Now, estrogen increases leading up to ovulation, which provides a natural mood boost by increasing your serotonin levels in the brain. As a result of this mind boost, there is an increased likelihood of heightened libido. And let's be honest, who can really sleep with steamy thoughts before the bedtime? Estrogen induces the biological excitement and partially so the body can become pregnant. This excitement or increased level of energy in the body may naturally lead to insomnia. The nights leading up to and, you know, nights of ovulation. However, it is helpful to keep in mind that these sleep disturbances most likely occur when you're biologically sexually peak, like women in 20s, 30s. Well, I don't want to offend anybody over here, but it's more in 20s and 30s rather than in 40s because it is how our body is biologically made. Now, another reason sleep may be impacted around ovulation is due to changes in basal body temperature. As we know, leading up to release of egg from the ovary, there's a fluctuation in your body temperature. People who are charting, they very well know about it. And within the first 24 hours of releasing the egg and few days that follow, progesterone's level begin to rise. Thus, there is another hormonal fluctuations over here, which can also increase your basal body temperature. Now, this sharp change in body temperature is likely to lead to insomnia. I would say not exactly insomnia, but disturbance in sleep pattern, let's put it that way. So in ideal circumstances, as you are winding down for bedtime, body temperature lowers by 1 or 2 degrees, and the body is losing heat, and what helps you to get sleep and stay around sleep through night. So be prepared for this increase in body temperature around ovulation to keep you up, and then try sleeping, say, in lighter pajamas, or make sure you keep your bedroom a little bit cooler. These are only small little particular things that you can do it. You have to be really conscious about it because you need to know that on which day of your cycle you are, you know, when are you approaching, not exact day of ovulations, but you should be knowing your approximate days of ovulations. And this will help you to get in rhythm and in sync with your sleep pattern and your menstrual cycle. Now, what happens after ovulation? The luteal phase, okay, the luteal phase of the cycle marks as the second half of the cycle. Now, from after ovulation until the first day of your period. So, people say, you know, first half of the luteal phase and the second half of the luteal phase, we are just considering a luteal phase over here. If the egg released during ovulation become fertilized, then being monitoring your sleep during pregnancy and getting rest as you need, right? However, what if the egg is not fertilized? So, here's the breakdown of how hormones circulate through your body and which may affect sleep. Now, especially with women who are suffering from premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which is a PMDD, it's a more serious case of PMS marked by extreme levels of depression, irritability, anxiety, and tends to have a really, really decreased response to body's secretion of melatonin during luteal phase. Now, this decreased response to melatonin leads to poorer sleep quality, which may contribute to worsening mood, essentially creating really hard to break this cycle of poor quality of sleep and poor quality of mood. Because if it's really common, if you don't have a good night's sleep, it's very common that next day you're going to wake up cranky and you're going to, the entire day is going to be like that. So this cycle is very, very difficult to break. But in most healthy women, the majority of sleep disruptors are found in the later half of the luteal phase, that are probably 3 to 6 days before you're going to approach your menstruation day or your period date. Now, the reason for this decreased quality of sleeps are plenty, but I'm sure you're familiar with many of them, as there could be all PMS symptoms, which means cramps, headaches, breast tenderness, gassiness, or bloating. These are all PMS symptoms. So majorly, they say, not only they drop in the progesterone level, but these PMS symptoms are also one of the most responsible factor for you not having a good night's sleep. So now we know that how four phases can affect your sleep cycle. We know that you don't get a good quality of sleep in menstruations, but right after the menstruation, the quality of sleep improves. And there is a little bit fluctuations during hormone during ovulation period, because you are biologically excited and your libido is high. And then again, you have a good quality of sleep during your first half of your luteal phase. So the major sleep disruptions happens is right from your 3 or 6 days before your periods and during your periods. So when you know that these are the times that are the main days that can affect your sleep quality, so you should be taking an extra care with it. Now, how can you do that? But wait, before that, what if your cycles are not regular? How can irregular menses affect sleep? Now, poor quality sleep is also found in women who suffers from irregular menstruations or PCOS. Women who suffer from, say, dysmenorrhea, which is characterized by painful cramps leading up to and during menstruations, experience significantly lower sleep quality. This makes sense because painful cramps will naturally keep you up, and women are more likely to have painful cramps if their cycles are irregular. So it's again kind of a cycle that you are having irregular cycles, and that's the reason you're having a painful cramps, and that's the reason you're not having a good quality sleep. And just because you're not having a good quality sleep and you're having PCOS, again you have irregular menstrual cycles. So this is again a vicious cycle. So hormonally, with irregular menses, two things may be occurring. One is painful cramps, which may be a result of higher level of estrogen in the morning, which mean increased levels of body temperature in bed. And when body temperature increases, our REM sleep decreases. Remember the REM sleep that I talked about? This is rapid eye movement sleep, which is crucial to have a good night's sleep. So as the body temperature increases, the REM decreases. Irregular menstruation affects sleep throughout your cycles because hormone levels are just not, they're just irregular at the time of menstruation, but throughout, not even like at the time of menstruation, but throughout the cycle. So when it comes to progesterone level in women who suffer from irregular cycle, it relates back to the point because of the irregularity. Though progesterone is a good hormone, the hormone is also meant to increase the body's ability to get you sleep and stay asleep in the preparation for pregnancy, as we discussed before. Now, with the lower level of progesterone circulating in the body, in women who experience more extreme version of PMS and progesterones, and natural ability to stay asleep is reduced. And this is really common when people who have estrogen dominance. So there's a huge impact of these hormonal fluctuations on our sleep cycle. Now, the effects on menstrual cycle rhythmicity of disrupted circadian rhythms. This disruption of circadian rhythms is associated with the disturbance in the menstrual functions. Like, I would say it's a cycle. For example, with shift workers, when female shift workers compared to non-shift workers are more likely to report menstrual irregularity and longer menstrual cycles. There is an accumulating evidence that circadian rhythm disruption increases the risk of breast cancer in women. possibly due to the altered light exposure and reduced melatonin secretion. And that's the reason they not only they are in increased risk of breast cancer, they also suffer from longer irregular menstrual cycles and many other discomforts that come with it. So it's really but remember, though, we should keep in mind that everybody is different and sleep habits will vary accordingly. Try keeping a sleep journal over the next, I would say, 2 or 3 cycles, 3 months. Track your cycle. Women, it's really, really important to track your cycle. I know this sounds a lot of work, but trust me, it's not that much of work. We have helped hundreds of women to help them track their cycle. It will take hardly 1 month to get in sync. Once you learn how to track your cycle, I can assure you that your rest of the fertility journey it's going to be really good. See how you can now see that how your menstrual cycle is related to your overall health. And so tracking your cycle will give you a really good insight. If you want to learn how to track your cycle, you can always DM us, send us an email. All contact information are given below. So far, we have learned that how menstrual cycle affects your sleep cycle. Now, let's learn the ways to help you get back to sleep. Firstly, don't force it. See, if you can't get to sleep, try getting out of bed and do something else like reading a book or walking around the house or do some household chores or some, just talk to your friend. But head back to bed when you start feeling sleepy. The other thing is do some gentle stretching. There are so many yoga poses out there which can help you prepare you to go to bed. Now, again, you have to be really mindful about which exercise you're using because you don't want to have an opposite effect. So it's really important that you do your research and learn the yoga poses and those pranayama and breathing exercises. And there are a couple of exercises that can help you make you go to sleep. The third one is make sure you put the habit of meditations. Especially the body scan meditations are a great way to reconnect with the body and encourage it to relax and calm down before bedtime. So yoga nidra is also a simple form of meditation that may help your mind slow down if you feel like it's racing and there are little thoughts are just, it's like a film and thoughts are running. So it's really, really great thing to do. And the other thing is there are many people who have a habit of writing their book. Writing journal about the entire day experience. So writing your thoughts, worries, or even gratitude list can help you have leave those negative thoughts behind or encourage positive thoughts before bedtime, which is a really good thing to do. This may help improve the quality of sleep and even help you get sleep faster. Not only that, but you sleep with a positive mindset. And if you sleep with a positive mindset, there are high chances that you'll wake up with a positive mindset and probably the next day will be more productive, more efficient, and more happier than what it was. So it's really important that you go back to with the positive mindset. The other thing I would say is having a healthy habits, like, try to have less sugar and salt and, have more calcium-rich food. Have your magnesium supplements. The other thing you can do is avoid screen after sun goes down. I know in this world it's really, really hard to do. And trust me, I'm saying this, but even I find it hard to just, keep away my screen and my phone because you're so addicted with it. Now, the blue light from our screens, laptops, televisions keep the body awake and impact our natural circadian rhythm. So before that, were screens, our bodies began to prepare for bedtime as soon as sun went down. It used to happen in ancient days, I would say. So try your best to avoid screen at least 2 to 3 hours before bedtime. I know it's too much, but just try. Okay, to give your body an appropriate amount of time to prepare for the bed. Try to dim the light, in your house when the sun goes down. Just think of soft lamps and candles that can you get in the mood of sleep. The rest is avoid caffeine at least 6 hours before bedtime. Now, caffeine consumed 6 hours before bedtime can reduce your nightly sleep totally as much as by an hour. And that's going to only increases the closer you have caffeine before the bedtime. Alcohol consumption. Okay. Though alcohol is sedative, it can have a negative impact on the quality of sleep. Alcohol impacts circadian rhythm. So, though it can help you fall asleep, but it will affect the chemicals in your brains. So, your overall sleep may feel more interrupted and less wholesome. It does this by, again, blocking this REM sleep. And the less REM sleep the body gets, the more exhausted you are going to feel the next in the morning. So this was all. I hope these tips can, these tips comes to be handy for you. I would really ask you to take your calcium and magnesium supplements properly during your, especially PMS periods and your menstruation days. Exercise is the best form. Reading is a really great thing to do. You know, keep an habit at least 30 minutes before you're going to do 15 minutes of reading and 15 minutes of exercise. I would say breathing exercise. Okay, you don't have to get out of the bed. Only by sitting in the bed, it is going to help you. Creating a sleep environment is also a great thing to do. Some people, they do take shower because they help them to sleep like a baby and they really love it. So you can try that as well. It's completely upon you, but before that, it's really important that you track your sleep cycles. By tracking your menstrual cycle, it's extremely important that how can you track your menstrual cycle. So far, I have talked about the effect of menstrual cycle on your immunity and on your sleep. And next month, I'm going to talk about how can it affect your creativity and your sex drive. Your menstrual cycle has a lot to do with your overall health. So start tracking your menstrual cycle. It's really important. I'm saying this, sorry for this, but I'm saying this again and again because I want you all to understand that how crucial it is, how important it is, and how it can get your overall health back to normal. It's just going to take a month of effort and you'll be sorted for a really, really long time. If you think that it has given you good information and helped you in any way, then please do rate, subscribe and review this podcast. I love reading your reviews. The reason I'm not able to talk about more reviews on the podcast because I have so much of information to give you all and I have so little time. And that's the reason I also have started an Instagram live session. So do join us on Instagram for more information about how to boost your fertility health. And lastly, if you have not visited the website yet, then do please visit the website and sign up for the newsletter. And you're going to get tips, weekly tips about how to boost your fertility health, and we'll make sure that you don't miss any episode. Thank you so much for listening. Stay fertile, stay healthy. So this is all I have for you today. Hope you enjoy it. Take home a fair bit of knowledge and thank you so much for listening. I would highly appreciate if you can please leave your reviews, feedback, suggestions and questions if you have any. I would love to hear from you. So you can drop us an email on info@fertilityed.com. You can also follow me on Instagram, Facebook and YouTube on the name of Fertility Ed. I would urge you to share this knowledge among your friends and relatives, be it girls or boys. It doesn't matter. Just spread the word and awareness. And yeah, don't forget to subscribe. See you next time. Until then, stay fertile, stay healthy. Bye-bye.